It's Super Bowl Monday, the one day that should be a holiday, but isn't. And it doesn't appear like we're going to get that anytime soon, Sergio. Why are we here?
I don't know.
We were all up late last night.
Let's go. What are we doing?
We were all up late. We all watched a really boring game, I thought. Horrible, awful Super Bowl. Hated the Super Bowl.
A Super Bowl that was decided in the last 2 minutes.
It wasn't really decided in the last 2 minutes.
With a quarterback with a chance to win.
Well, I agree. It's set up to be a very cool finish. And
it didn't happen.
But it didn't happen.
Right.
And just as anticlimactic and boring as the rest of the game was, he threw an incomplete pass to end the game. Might as well have punted.
I'll accept anticlimactic. But it was exciting. I mean, it was high scoring.
The end was exciting. That's it.
It was high scoring.
I don't know. I just was not into it. I was not into the Super Bowl.
And you know what? But I do have to congratulate you. If our loyal listeners of this podcast might remember, picked the Green Bay Packers, and I picked the Pittsburgh Steelers.
Yes.
So good job.
Dave and Jamie, our fantasy hosts, also picked the Pittsburgh Steelers.
And you picked the
Packers. And Lauren and I
picked the Packers.
Well, I guess Lauren and I are the fantasy hosts. They're the fantasy football analysts. Lauren and I picked the Packers. And then Dave made the very funny comment, the two girls picked the Packers.
Oh, wow.
So how about that, Dave?
Who's laughing
Who's
now?
The masculine one now? We're talking fantasy basketball now. It only took us about a minute and a half to get into it. And as we approach the trade deadline, we still have a couple of weeks left. But things are getting a bit interesting, especially with Carmelo Anthony. We'll look at some of that. Going to take a quick look at the injuries and most traded players on CBSSports.com, leagues assessing the trade values of Tony Parker, Gerald Wallace, Danny Granger. And if you need help in your leagues, we're going to look at some free agents at point guard, shooting guard, small forward, power forward, and center, tell you who you can pick up. So, you know, who's out there? Who's getting traded? What do you think? Well, we'll get to Melo later, but other than Melo, what do fantasy owners need to know right now?
Well, every single time we look into these trades, it seems like Carmelo Anthony is the first domino that needs to fall. Everybody's kind of waiting to see what happens there before they make a move. In my opinion, I actually don't think Carmelo Anthony is going to be traded again for
still
the 15th millionth time this season. I still don't think he's going to be traded. But I think as we get closer, it's probably not going to happen until the final week leading up to the trade deadline. Because the other thing fantasy owners need to, or not just fantasy owners, NBA fanatics need to keep in mind is that there is the whole deal, the collective bargaining agreement. There's going to be a lot less moves, I think, than normal because of that. I'm not hearing too many big names get being bantied about, a few minor deals, but nothing that's going to really shake up the fantasy world unless Carmelo Anthony gets traded, which, as I mentioned, I don't think he will.
So the proposed trade, according to reports, and I can't believe this for one second, because this is such a horrible trade for Minnesota, and really Denver wouldn't be getting much anyway either. So Carmelo would go to the Knicks. Anthony Randolph and Eddie Curry to Minnesota. Wilson Chandler, Corey Brewer, and a first-round pick from Minnesota to Denver.
Right.
It seems too good to be true from the Knicks' standpoint. This would be like Carmelo Anthony falling into their laps before free agency hits.
Don't you get the sense that the Knicks are kind of bidding against themselves in that he seems to be destined to be a Knick? In the offseason, if he doesn't get traded, he's going to be a Knick.
Yeah, exactly. No, the Knicks have all the leverage.
The Knicks are, right, they have a lot of leverage here. If the Knicks are going to be realistic with themselves, they're not going to win the title this year. They can get Carmelo Anthony, which
they're
is what
they're probably going to win the title this year.
Oh,
you don't think so?
Says the Knicks fan. Well, hey, after the Packers prediction that you made, I can't
exactly
guess against you.
Because that was really bold and everything.
Exactly.
Well, look, if Carmelo does go to the Knicks this year, that's going to help. That's going to boost his value, right?
Sure.
If Anthony Randolph gets traded, that could only boost his value because he never plays. So
yes,
he's a guy that fantasy owners might want to look at.
Correct. And Richard Hamilton is another player who is, I think the fact that he played the other day for the first time in nearly a month and scored 15 points is a sign that the Pistons are now starting to try to feature him as a potential trade bargaining chip. I do think if he gets traded and if Anthony Randolph, those are the two biggest gainers, and possibly Troy Murphy.
What about Corey Brewer?
I've never seen him as anything more than a role player. That's what we've seen.
What does he do for Denver that they don't already have?
Right, and he's one of those jack-of-all-trades, master-of-none, who can fill up the box score from time to time, but he doesn't really excel in any particular category.
So let's not get too worked up over these trade rumors just yet. Now, Kendrick Perkins is back. He's playing pretty well. He's rebounding well, at the very least. He's owned in 10% fewer leagues than DeAndre Jordan. And every week we look at the most drop list. DeAndre Jordan is on that list, and we can't really figure out why.
He's cooled off
a
little bit.
He's not playing very well right now. So would you rather own Perkins or DeAndre Jordan?
Oh, Perkins, absolutely. If you look at the long-term value of each, you're talking about DeAndre Jordan, a player who's already starting to cool off, and you have Chris Kaman looming with a return possibly after the All-Star break. With Perkins, he's going to get better as the season goes off, and he's further removed from that ACL injury last season in what was really a breakout season for him. He averaged around 11 points and 11 rebounds per game, and he has that type of upside. He can get back to that as he gets healthier, so definitely Perkins.
Perkins or JaVale McGee? Another guy who hasn't been great lately.
He hasn't been great lately, but he does have, I think, long-term appeal. He's a very raw athletic player who's going to get better. He's young, so that's part of the reason why he's been so inconsistent. That's a tough one. I'm going to say Perkins because I think 11-11 is within his grasp, and I think he'll get to that while McGee will be wildly inconsistent.
You know, and a guy who's cooled off, Hedo Turkoglu, he has been brutal. Last six games, he's shooting 17 of 62, and Dwight Howard needs some help.
Yes, he does.
Supporting
or
cast.
He's going to follow Shaq out of Orlando and go to the L.A. Lakers route.
Of course, Brandon Bass is injured right now, but Turkoglu is not pulling his weight. Last six games, he is shooting 17 of 62. That is awful. No more than 13 points in any of those six games. Any concerns there? Is this just a slump?
Well, it's a slump, but I think the slump is attributed to an injury that he's playing through. He's been complaining of some lower back pain for, coincidentally, the length of the slump. So I think that's definitely an issue. We saw, however, the move to Orlando do wonders for his fantasy appeal. Obviously, his best days as a fantasy option were a couple years ago when he was with the Orlando Magic. He really boosted his fantasy, not fantasy appeal, his NBA appeal.
Got himself
paid off of the production that he had with the Orlando Magic. He was unable to match that in Toronto. He was unable to match that in Phoenix. When he came back to Orlando, it was like he never left. The first couple weeks there, he was putting up sound fantasy numbers again, but that back seems to be killing him. So I'd be patient with him. I wouldn't give up on him because I think if he gets over this back issue, he can get back to the numbers he put up when he first rejoined the Orlando Magic.
Now, we keep waiting for somebody to really emerge for the Miami Heat now that Mike Miller's been back and James Jones hasn't been what he was and Mike Miller, you know, whatever. But Eddie House, only owned in 4% of leagues, and Eddie House has scored in double digits four consecutive times, averaging just under three-pointers made in those games. He's going to make almost all of his shots from behind the arc. But look, his minutes are going up, and he hit that huge shot. Who did he hit that huge shot against when he did the gesture? I'll think of it.
I watched the game.
Yes, me too. So he hit that huge shot, and since then he's been pretty good. What do you think about him owned in just 4% of leagues?
Especially if you're in a category league, I think he's a must add. We've been talking about all season the role that we expected Mike Miller to go into. That if he was healthy and playing well, Mike Miller could probably be leading the league in 3-point shooting because of just the fact that playing off of the big three in Miami, you're going to have more open looks than probably any perimeter shooter in the league. Eddie House has stepped into that role right now. Mike Miller's still there, and I don't know if Eddie House is going to be able to maintain this, but you have to take advantage of it while it lasts. I think the Heat have been desperate for a fourth scorer. They're not looking for anything great, but just somebody else that can consistently produce around 10 to 15 points per game. And I think Eddie House can step into that role for now. And he's proving that he's worth giving the type of shot volume that he's been getting lately.
Oklahoma City Thunder.
That's what it was.
Can't believe I couldn't remember that one. What do you think about J.J. Barea, Sergio? Been starting lately for Dallas.
Yeah, he's been a player who we've seen put up this type of production in the past. He kind of goes in and out of the Dallas rotation. But whenever he's been getting the chance to play the type of minutes that he's playing right now, he has been able to produce. He's a decent three-point shooter. He can distribute the ball pretty well. He's not going to excel in any particular category, but when he's playing and he's hot like this and the Mavericks have decent matchups and they're looking for somebody to step up and fill the void left by Caron Butler's injury, Peja Stojakovic, is going to start playing as soon as Tuesday night's game. I think he could eventually cut into J.J. Barea's production. But right now, you have to take advantage of it in deeper leagues.
Barea or House?
House.
Ooh, really? Okay. Yeah. And again, he's only owning 4% of leagues. Go out there. If you got room, if you want to make a quick addition, maybe help you out for a couple weeks, Eddie House is your man. Injuries are next, but first I want to remind everybody, we come at you twice a week, Mondays and Thursdays. Thursdays we help you get set for the next week with some matchup talk, and also Sergio reads your emails and your tweets. Email us at dmfantasyhoops@cbs.com, D as in Darko, M as in Milicic, fantasyhoops@cbs.com. Tweet Sergio, follow him on Twitter at CBS Gonzalez, GONZALEZ, and at CBS Fantasy News. All right, the injuries. Eric Gordon got good news last week after bad news the week before, and now what's his status?
Yeah, it seemed like fantasy owners had reason to get excited. He was going to be out for a month. Then the Clippers said they were going to list him as day-to-day, and it seemed like he might be back sooner than expected. Eric Gordon was sent back to Los Angeles. He was traveling with the team, but he was sent back to Los Angeles to get some more work done on the wrist and to be reevaluated. So it seems like it's probably going to be a lot closer to the month timetable than it is him coming back within the next week or so. So Eric Gordon, it seems like there was a little bit of a false start there in terms of the return. He's not going to be useful probably for the next couple scoring periods.
What about Nick Young? And then we'll get to Chris Kamen.
Well, Nick Young tweaked his knee in Monday's practice, and he had to leave. So he went from being a no-brainer must-start in fantasy for week 16 to being maybe a little bit of an injury concern. There wasn't any news on the extent of the knee injury, but anytime you get a player who's shooting the ball about 20 times per game, and he leaves a practice, it's obviously something to monitor closely.
Chris Kamen, we've already talked about DeAndre Jordan. So what is the diagnosis, the prognosis, all the osises for Chris Kamen?
He's still out indefinitely, but what it seems like is that the Clippers are going to wait until after the All-Star break. They're going to use the All-Star break to their advantage and hopefully bring him back immediately following the All-Star break. We've seen his timetable get pushed back a couple times, so it's no guarantee, but it does seem like the All-Star break is the time for Kamen to return. So DeAndre Jordan owners, don't get too attached.
Sergio, I need a point guard, so you tell me who to pick up. George Hill, Ty Lawson, Keon Dooling.
George Hill, Ty Lawson, Keon Dooling. George Hill. Ty Lawson, as long as Chauncey Billups is healthy, he's going to be too inconsistent to trust. And Keon Dooling, as that team gets healthier, as Brandon Jennings gets healthier now that he's back in the mix, he's going to fade away completely. George Hill, he isn't anything spectacular, but he gives you the same type of production week in, week out. You know what to expect from him.
Sergio, I need a shooting guard. So tell me who to pick up. Kirk Heinrich, Raja Bell, Gilbert Arenas, who is owned in many more leagues than the other two. But he kind of sucks.
He kind of does.
Heinrich, Bell, Arenas.
I'm going to go with Kirk Heinrich there, especially if Foy, if this knee injury turns out to be anything of significance, he's the only real other option that they have to play any kind of two-guard there in Washington right now. So I'm going to go with Kirk Heinrich there.
You met Nick Young?
Yes.
I think you said Foy.
Oh, did I? I'm sorry. Nick Young. I met Nick Young. Thanks for correcting me.
Yeah.
Actually, good stuff. Gilbert Arenas is over-owned because of the fact that he was so highly owned early in the season. Right now in Washington, in Orlando, he's not playing more than 20 minutes per game, and he's been complaining of bulky knees. Jameer Nelson, as long as he's healthy, Arenas isn't going to produce more than he's producing right now.
He has a thermometer in his knees.
Yes, he does.
When it gets cold, his knees hurt him more than when it gets hot.
And I don't know if people have noticed, it's really cold out there.
It
just about everywhere but where Adam and I have the good fortune of being right now.
It can't be too bad in Orlando, is it?
You know what? Orlando I make the trek up to Orlando quite a bit, and it's been chilly.
Really?
Yes.
That's a trek.
That is a trek, a four-hour trek for those of you keeping track.
Sergio, I need a small forward. So tell me who to pick up. Ryan Anderson, Anthony Parker, Thaddeus Young.
Anthony Parker, I know he starts for the Cleveland Cavaliers, but he's not productive enough for me. So it's between Ryan Anderson and who's the other guy? Thaddeus Young. I like Young's upside more, but I like Anderson's consistency. I think, especially if Brandon Bass, until he gets back, I know he's getting close to getting back, but right now he's not in the mix. I'm going to take Anderson when he does as a three-point shooter and as a rebounder over Thaddeus Young and his flirtations of upside, because he can be very inconsistent and he can be very misleading, because he'll drop 20 and 10 one night and then he'll just disappear for a week.
I need a power forward. Ersan Ilyasova, Ryan Gomes, Jared Dudley. And by the way, these guys might not play power forward every night, but they are eligible at power forward in our fantasy league. So, Ilyasova, Gomes, Dudley.
Give me Ilyasova. He's a player we're touting already in our waiver wire column. Drew Gooden, that plantar fasciitis has him sidelined. I to the point right now that I don't think Drew Gooden's going to be a factor at all this season again. Ilyasova's playing around 30 to 35 minutes per game, and he's a player who last year, when he got this type of playing time, was able to put up around 14 points and 7 rebounds per game, and that's the type of production we're seeing out of him now. So, Ilyasova.
Finally, give me a center. Timofey Mozgov got the start on Sunday. Spencer Hawes, Zydrunas Ilgauskas.
Ooh, that's a sad bunch of centers right there, but I'm going to take Timofey.
Yeah.
He's not going to put up the 23 points and 14 rebounds that got him so much fantasy attention just 4 games ago. But what we have seen from him is he's a steady rebounder, and he's going to get minutes because the Knicks have no other real center options. Ronny Turiaf has been a complete disappointment, and what he's done as a rebounder over the last week has been enough for Mike D'Antoni to give him a chance, as Adam mentioned, as a starter. So right now he's a better option of those 3 very weak center options.
And now it is time to look at the most traded list on CBSSports.com. Number 1 in our leagues is Tony Parker. So the first trade I looked up, and these are actual trades that our users made, and I just want to know if this is the worst trade ever made.
All time.
I think it's horrible. All right, I hope
see.
I'm not wrong.
Let's see.
This guy traded David Lee and Tony Parker for Devin Harris and Steven Jackson. I want you to grade the trade there.
That is pretty bad.
It's awful, right?
That might be our first ever F- in our Grade the Trade segment.
This is really
podcast
bad.
Podcast or video. That is pretty darn
David
bad.
Lee and Tony Parker for
he doesn't
Devin
win
Harris
anywhere.
And Steven
I mean,
Jackson, no.
David Lee for Steven Jackson, if that's how you want to look at it, David Lee. Tony Parker for Devin Harris, if that's how you want to look at it, Tony Parker. So I don't – that's just horrible, people. Come on.
Yeah, I just – okay. this is the guy in the league that everybody else takes advantage of.
Exactly.
Lousy trade offer. So I'm sorry that you pulled the trigger on this, but but you lost. F minus. Parker and Turkoglu for Landry Fields and Joe Johnson.
This is a better deal because if you're comparing Parker and Joe Johnson, I'd much rather have Joe Johnson, who is a far better scorer, can give you almost pretty much the exact same amount of assists, is a better producer across the board. Turkoglu for Fields, to me, that's a wash, but I actually think Turkoglu might have a little bit more fantasy appeal. So if you're losing on the Turkoglu for Fields side, but you're winning on the Johnson for Parker side, definitely I'd rather have the Johnson side.
Grade the trade, Sergio.
If I'm grading that trade, so if I'm grading it for the Parker owner.
Yeah, for the Parker owner.
That's a D. That's a D. That's a bad deal.
No, no, no.
Oh, no, I'm sorry. I'm always so bad at this.
Yeah,
I'm always so bad at this. No, the Parker owner who gets Joe Johnson gets an A.
Absolutely.
There you go.
How about the Parker owner who trades Tony Parker for Elton Brand? What does he get?
Tony Parker for Elton Brand. I'd rather have Parker. So if he's getting Elton Brand, I don't think he's getting enough in return, especially Elton Brand, who is an injury risk, and I know he's been able to bounce back this season. I'd still rather have Parker. So if he's getting Elton Brand,
yes,
that's a C or a D.
All right.
Go
with
C minus.
Yeah,
we'll go
with C minus. Number 3 most traded, Gerald Wallace. Gerald Wallace for Wesley Matthews.
Gerald Wallace, he's actually somebody I get a lot of correspondence about, a lot of emails and a lot of tweets asking what's wrong with Gerald Wallace. He is underproducing for Gerald Wallace's standards, but he still can fill up the box score. He's an excellent rebounder. I still think very highly of him. Gerald Wallace for Wesley Matthews. Wesley Matthews is a guy who was picked up off the waiver wire not too long ago. I know Brandon Roy is out, but I'd still rather have Gerald Wallace. So if you're getting Matthews for Wallace, that's a C or a D, another C minus.
Okay, Gerald Wallace for DeMarcus Cousins and J.J. Hickson. Getting some
both
big wins.
Yeah, that's a much better deal because you're getting DeMarcus Cousins right now. I don't know if fantasy owners have noticed, but he's putting up numbers of an elite number one center. He's a rookie with a lot of upside. You're getting Cousins and an extra guy in Hickson who also has some upside for the second half. I like that deal if you have Gerald Wallace. That's a B.
Gerald Wallace and Jason Richardson for Rajon Rondo. Interesting.
You gotta like anytime you can get Rajon Rondo, who's probably going to be a top four or five pick in fantasy drafts next year. That's an A-plus for the fantasy.
Oh, an A-plus.
An A-plus. You get a top five.
Nothing, right? You can give him away.
No, my grades mean a lot.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, absolutely.
They're worth a lot. Not really.
Number six is Danny Granger. Danny Granger and Mike Conley for Gilbert Arenas, the awful Gilbert Arenas, and Amari Stoudemire. Again, it's Granger and Conley for Arenas and Stoudemire.
So, Stoudemire is the best player in that deal, but Granger isn't too shabby. I think fantasy owners underrate, especially in category leagues, what Granger can do across the board. I'd still rather have Stoudemire, so if you're trading Granger and you're getting Stoudemire, that's a solid B+.
Really?
Yeah.
You're losing Conley and
you're giving up two very good, especially if you're in a category league, you are giving up two very good, well-rounded producers, but you're getting Stoudemire.
Okay.
If you're drafting next year, where's Stoudemire? Top five?
You tell me. Is he that high?
Yeah, he's been that high this year.
Okay.
He's been that high.
All right. Fair. Granger and Spencer Hawes for Andrea Bargnani and Michael Beasley. Granger and Hawes, Bargnani and Beasley.
Well, Hawes is dead weight. Bargnani and Beasley are both highly useful. Actually, Bargnani is a number one center, and Beasley's been a number two forward in most leagues for Granger, who's a number one. So you're getting a number one center and a number two. I think that outweighs what Granger can do. That's a good deal for whoever owns Granger here. I'm going to give him another B+.
Okay. I'm just glad we started with David Lee and Tony Parker for Devin Harris and Steven Jackson because we've just gotten so much better.
Yeah,
you want to start out with something horrible like that. Granger for Monte Ellis.
Straight up. Monte Ellis being one of the best scorers in the league. What he's doing this year is insane. I'd rather have Monte Ellis. Let's categorize it this way. If I'm in a head-to-head league, I'd rather have Monte Ellis. If I'm in a category league, I'd rather have Granger. So which league am I grading this in?
A category league.
If this is a category league.
No. I want to go out on a high note. Head-to-head league.
He's getting Monta Ellis an A+ to balance out that F- from the start.
Good.
So there you go.
Good. And now we're all balanced here. You got anything else to add, Sergio?
Just follow up on fantasynews.cbssports.com for the latest. We have a great team of update writers this year for NBA Fantasy Hoops. We will keep you in the loop with the latest goings on. So just keep it tuned there.
And this guy has chats as well.
Chats and everything on fantasynews.com. We have chats, videos, podcasts, all this good stuff. Just more and more content than ever before. Yep. Fantasy Hoops. It's got to be great for the being a fantasy owner right now.
And it's time to get into fantasy baseball, so you can check out our fantasy baseball podcast and all of our fantasy baseball draft previews. Scott White, Al Melchior, doing a great job there. Thanks a lot, everybody. Next time out, we'll read your emails and your tweets, so send them along. DM fantasyhoops@cbs.com and on Twitter @CBSGonzalez with a couple of Z's.